Senator will please come to order. Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, January 23, 2017, message number 143. Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the votes indicated. House Bill number 96, microbrewery permits, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. House Bill number 131, disposition of lottery proceeds, ayes 31, noes 28, excused 1. January 23, 2017, from the House of Representatives, message number 145. Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading by the votes indicated. House Bill number 142, governmental immunity, waiver for health care facilities, ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. Message number 141. House Bill number 70, occupational safety and health administration actions, ayes 56, noes 1, excused 1. House Bill number 92, payment of wages upon termination time limits, ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 142. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Introduction, reading, and reference of bills. Senate File 116, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 116, Medicaid Expansion Authorization, sponsored by Senator Rothfuss.
Senate File 116 will refer to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
January 23, 2017, Mr. President, your Committee Number 12, to whom was referred Senate File 77, Capital Oversight Group Membership, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern, Senator Bebout, Chairman. January 23, 2017, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, your committee number 12, to whom was referred Senate File 108, lawsuits challenging state legislative acts, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we at that order of business consideration of bills on general file.
That's a good point, Mr. President. Thank you. Mr. President, I move that the Senate re-resolve itself back in committee whole again.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Nethercott. We'll keep the water square for you. This is yours.
That's where we have the link.
Anything else you need?
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 100. The reading clerk will read the Senate file. Oh. Forgive me, I'm sorry, this is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24, Film Industry Financial Incentive Program, an act relating to economic development, sponsored by the Travel Committee, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senator Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman. Was re-referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a favorable consideration of Senate File 24. There is a standing committee amendment, and I would ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 24, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 12, line 20.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would move that amendment and turn this discussion over to the good Senator Moniz.
Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Fellow senators, I bring you the resurrection of FIFI. FIFI was sunsetted June 30th of 2016. This is bringing forward new statutes. Farming Statutes 912408 through 9412 is being created. Run you through the bill quickly. Basically, on page 2, just some highlights. It promotes the state of tourist destination through investments in branded entertainment. They're matching funds from local lodging taxes to support local film production opportunities. Going to page 3, a definition of branded entertainment means opportunities for the board to contract with, enter into an agreement, or partner with production companies, major brands, or other projects with Wyoming-related video content. On through here. Page 6, film industry financial incentive programs, qualified production reimbursements. Romanet A, to the extent funding is available, the board may contract with any entity engaged in making qualified production in the state for reimbursement of up to 15% of the production's qualified expenditures if at least $200,000 in total qualified expenditures are made this within the state. Going on to page 7, just Romanet C, just talks about the board shall contract with qualified production for reimbursement of qualified expenses under this section. Going on down to page 8, a new section, Film Industry and Financial Incentive Program, Branded Entertainment, Matching Funds for Local Film Production Opportunities. This is new criteria that wasn't in the old statute. Going on to page 9, to the extent funding is available, the board may contract and enter into agreement or otherwise partner with a local lodging tax board for purpose of matching funds for local film production opportunities. The board, by rule and regulation, establish a process by which a contract agreement or partnership under this subsection is formulated. No matching funds shall be expended by the board unless the board determines that the funds would likely benefit local communities and increase awareness of marketing reach throughout the local community of tourists. Section on going on down 912.412, Romanet A, the sum of all contractual obligations and investments and matching funds expended under this act shall not exceed the total amount available from the program for the fiscal biennium. At the current time, they have $15,000 in that fund. Going on now to page 12, line 17, where there's a new language for local film production opportunities defined in Wyoming Statute 912409, Romanet A, Romanet 4, which is outlined on page 4 of this bill. And then, Madam Chairman, this is where the amendment comes in that was moved, which deletes, beginning on line 20 after improvements period, deletes the balance of all of those lines through 23 and on to page 13 through Wyoming Business Council. And I believe that amendment has been moved, and I would ask if there's any questions. If not, I'd call for the question.
Discussion on the amendment? Seeing that there's no question, all those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 24, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 24 has passed. Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Additionally, there is a committee of the whole amendment that Senator Boner might like to address, and then we'll go from there. That senator over there.
Senator Boehner? Thank you, Senator Von Flattern.
Thank you, Matt.
We're back on the bill. Is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did have a standing committee, a committee of the whole amendment that you might have in front of you, and I apologize that I was a little confused as to how exactly the repealer worked, and there was some confusion. If we repealed the sunset date, would that basically resurrect the old FIFI, so we could potentially have two FIFIs running around the state of Wyoming. And we were reassured that that was not the case, and so I withdraw this amendment. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 24.
I believe we are back on the bill. Any discussion on the bill? Senator Moniz.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, that is all I have on the bill. I just might mention that Chairman Emmerich did pass out a handout on this if there's any questions. And with that, call for the question.
Discussion on the bill? Senator Wasserberger.
No.
Senator Von Flattern.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 12, that new language that says for local film production opportunities, does that mean that they can spend all their lodging tax on a local film? Is that what I'm understanding of that new language that's inserted there?
Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. What that basically does is spell out what that partnership is. And yes, if those local lodging tax folks chose to spend all their money, they could do so. What that does is basically allow the state of Wyoming to partnership with those entities, and we may or may not provide matching funds up to whatever amount of money we may have in the fund, which is very little at this point. But that language allows the boards to spend that money, basically. And we did have a question, to be honest with you, about whether the state of Wyoming needed new legislation to allow them to spend that money. But basically what that statute says is just allowing the local authorities to spend that money. It doesn't commit the state of Wyoming to spend any money at all.
Senator Von Flattern.
So there's, I guess in that whole paragraph, Madam Chair, they don't say anything about matching. They just say that they allow them to do printed advertising, promotion of tours. And so my assumption is that they then allow them to just spend it all on a film production of some sort. And then I do have a question, which, if I'm correct on that matching, but also a question that goes back to page 4, lines 4, which says that would benefit a local community and would likely encourage members of the public to visit the local community. Was there any discussion in the committee about negatively promoting it, as in, you know, in their mind, their film production is showing what an eyesore this, and so everybody wants to come see what an eyesore looks like? Is that what was discussed, or maybe not discussed at all?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll address the second question first. No, we did not discuss going into communities and filming eyesores. I assume we were proactive and positive in our approach to the filming industry and the positive impact it's made on the state of Wyoming. So, no, we did not discuss that. And then to answer the first question, if you'll look at page 9, line 20, to the extent funding is available, the board may contract, and into agreement, or otherwise partner with local lodging tax boards for purposes of matching funds for local film production opportunities.
Thank you, Senator Moniz. Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't there for the discussion about the idea of negative impacts, and I don't think any local community is going to advertise to get people to come see how, you know, big a old tire pile they have or something. But what this is more aimed at, and a real-life example, is the municipality of Buffalo, Wyoming, has been the beneficiary of a series of sheriff novels that have been made into a TV series, which I think is now in its fifth or sixth season. And they call it, well, I think I can use a proper name here, Longmire Days, up in Buffalo. And that is actually the biggest tourist event in Johnson County for the entire year. And even though the production takes place in a different state, Buffalo, Wyoming is the beneficiary of this. And this is part of the idea of branded entertainment also.
Senator Von Flattern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Several years ago, there was a major motion picture made that featured the state of Wyoming, even though it was filmed in Canada. And it garnered us a lot of advertising. But there was people that were really quite upset at the theme of that movie and wanted to basically censor it. Now, if that same movie had come and been filmed in Wyoming, they would have been able to, at that time, 15% or whatever this bill says you have to spend, they would have garnered the top amount of money that could have possibly been given to them, reimbursed to them for their sales tax, et cetera. And so that was, in many people's minds, a negative impression of the state. So with that in mind, I really thought it would have been part of the discussion.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In part to answer a little bit of the concerns expressed just a moment ago, what this does, fellow senators, is just simply put on the books the fact that we have a film industry program that exists. If we do not do this, we're never going to have to worry about much of anything, because that's really the first step that any production company or anyone in the business looks at, is whether or not there's even the possibility of some sort of incentive. Regarding major motion pictures like the one alluded to by my friend from Campbell County, we will never, I think, probably get back in that ballgame. There are states out there, the one alluded to by the senator from Sheridan, a couple of states below us, there are just states that are so far out ahead of us, and, of course, the entire country of Canada does this stuff. This doesn't even attempt to get back in that ballgame, but what it does is just put something in place so that we can take advantage of what has suddenly become a boom of production programming because of alternative ways of delivery. You have those little things that you stick into the back of your TV, and it just provides hundreds of thousands of hours of different kinds of programming. They cannot produce enough video and programming for all of the different levels. And so I commend you to the bill, because I think we ought to at least try to stay in the game at a basic level. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion on the bill? All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion, that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 24, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
Senate File 24 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 56.
Senate File 56, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, an act relating to water development projects, sponsored by the Water Committee, was referred to Committee No. 5, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz. Senator Hicks, Chair. Was re-referred to Committee No. 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Choose which one you like better.
Senator Burns.
Oh.
Bad choice.
Madam Chair, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 56, Omnibus Water Bill Planning. There are no standing committee amendments, and to give a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on my favorite senator from Bags.
Senator Hicks.
Madam Chairman, that's a pretty small number of people he has to choose from, but with that, Madam Chairman, I'll go on. This is the Omnibus Water Bill for Planning. I'm going to bring in three concepts here that I want you to follow through on here. So you're going to go through here. We're going to deal with account one, account two, and account three. So account one is going to bring in under account one. Those are all expenditures for planning for new developments. Water account number two is planning for rehabilitation projects. And account three deals with dams and reservoirs for planning. So as we go through this, if we get into the bill, section one, level one, is reconnaissance studies for new development. They're coming out of account number one. Those projects, if you flip to page two of the bill, that'll be covered under this, are the Beaver Creek Watershed Study, Bitter Creek East Flaming Gorge Watershed Study, Grable River Watershed Study, Hog Island Water Master Plan, also Horse Creek Watershed Study. As you go through the bill, I'm not going to recite every county that these are in. You can look at that for yourself. Next one is the Middle Bighorn River Watershed Study, Niobrara Lower North Platte River Watershed Study, and then the statewide water research grant that goes through the university. Total appropriations for the reconnaissance studies under the new development in account number one is $2,724,529. Section two deals with level two feasibility studies for new developments. Again, this is out of water development account number one. Those feasibility studies for new development are the Bighorn Regional Southern Water Supply Project, Buffalo Groundwater Supply, Douglas Test Well, Green River the Joint Powers Board, Wind River, a zone study, Lake Desmet facilities, acquisition, Rolling Hills groundwater supply. Total appropriations for this feasibility study for new projects is $2,695,000. Section three, we're going to move into account two, is level one reconnaissance studies for rehabilitation of existing water projects around the state of Wyoming. Those projects are going to be the Hanover Irrigation District Master Plan, the Laprelle Irrigation District Master Plan. Total appropriations out of account two for these is $310,000. Page four, section four, level two feasibility studies for rehabilitation. Again, it's going to come out of account two. Those projects are Cody Canal Laterals, Kirby Ditch Rehabilitation, Wheatland Irrigation District Tunnel Dam Rehabilitation Project, total appropriations $430,000. Now we're going to transition into account three, which is level three or level two feasibility studies for dams and reservoirs. Out of account three for reconnaissance studies, we have the, over on page six. Those studies include the Big Wind River Storage Study, Phase 2, Grable Valley Irrigation Storage Enlargement, Phase 2, Little Wind River Storage Study, Phase 2, New Fork Lake Dam Enlargement, Phase 2, State Line Dam Enlargement, Phase 2, West Fork Reservoir, Phase 3. Total appropriations out of Account 3 in this planning bill is $8,242,000. That, Madam Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Questions on the bill? President Bebout.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let's have a little more discussion about the watershed. You know, we've talked a lot in the past about trying to do some rehabilitation, and that was always an area where we thought we were wisely spending our money. But when you look at the amount of money spent there relative to now watershed studies, you know, I'm wondering which direction we're going, why we're heading in that direction, what we can expect to accomplish. And if you spend, I mean, this looks good if you're an engineering firm, You spend $300,000 at Beaver Creek. What are you going to get out of that study that's going to allow you to move forward with water development relative to what you might get out of rehabilitation or in terms of long-term projects? The other question, Madam Chairman, is I know there's a strategic plan that the governor had offered about three or four projects, and maybe we could have a discussion if any of those are in this bill, if they're coming in the next bill.
Senator Hicks.
Madam Chairman, I'll take those questions in reverse order. Several of these projects, if you go to page, to the last page under the dams and reservoirs section, not specific, but I believe the New Fork Dam enlargement, State Line Dam, West Fork Dam, I believe those are incorporated in the governor's 10 and 10 proposal. I'm not sure about the Wind River Storage Project or the Grable Valley Irrigation District enlargement of Grable Valley Dam, but several of these, I'm pretty sure, I'll verify that to make sure, but I'm pretty sure some of these are in the 10 and 10. I know a couple of them are, but I'm not sure about all of them, but I'll check on that to make sure. Back to the first question, I think that's a very fair policy discussion as to what are we doing here with the planning component. And when we put a lot of these watershed studies is. One of the reasons that we see a lot of people doing the watershed studies is because it is a requirement to complete a level one watershed to be able to participate in the small water program. I won't give you my personal opinion on that as being a barrier, but it's certainly something I think needs to be addressed. One of the things that they'll tell you through these studies that they hope to gain is enough information to do the baseline. If there is any other storage projects that come along into the future, that they've got adequate planning through these watershed plans to be able to move them instead of doing the level one like we typically would, that there should be sufficient information in some cases that you would move all automatically to a level two watersheds or a level two study to go to a dam construction through this planning process. But I think the president raises a really, really good question. In that, in light of declining budgets, should we be emphasizing more on the planning side or more on the actual development and the rehabilitation side? That's a policy question that this body should debate. And I think it's a very legitimate question where we are. With that, Madam Chairman, that's the only explanation. I didn't have the luxury of sitting through all of the discussions on these. This came out of the Select Water Committee. I would invite anybody that was on the Select Water Committee, if they want to expand upon that discussion, to now's your opportunity.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Perkins.
Madam Chairman, I was just going to refer that most everybody got one of these earlier, the 2017 legislative report from the Wyoming Water Development Commission, and each of these projects are listed in there, and there's a brief description that provides project information and if it's a subsequent project. This is really emotional for me, Madam Chairman.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I feel so strongly about this. Anyway, there's lots of information in these. You can find them out. If you go to the, they're listed alphabetically in the table of contents, and the ones that you're talking about will be listed in bold, I think, that appear in one of these bills. So there's some of the information might be available to us as we go through there. Thanks.
Senator Agar.
Madam Chairwoman, I need to declare a conflict of interest on Section 4 of the bill. So I need a clarification if we're going to break this down into sections or if I need to declare a conflict of interest on the bill as a whole.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. I believe what Rule 12.2 says is that when you have an individual appropriation, you can declare a conflict on that section. And so by doing that, I think that's what the good senator just did. But then having declared the conflict on the section, you are not conflicted from voting for the entire bill.
Thank you, Senator Perkins. Further discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Burns's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 56, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 56 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 100. Senator Boner.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. May I have the privilege of the floor?
Yes, Senator Boner.
Hey, I'd just like to take a quick moment to introduce somebody who's very special to me, a very neat person sitting back there. My wife, Nicole, is here for the day. So let's go ahead and welcome her to the Senate.
Senate File 100.
Senate File 100, Limited Liability Companies, an act related to limited liability companies, sponsored by Senator Scott, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chair.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
It was on.
Mike? Senator Christensen.
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it do so with a favorable consideration on Senate File 100, Limited Liability Company, to present that good bill will be Senator Scott. I believe there is a couple of standing committee amendments.
Senator Scott.
Madam Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment, so I'm going to explain the bill very briefly, and then I think we ought to go to the standing committee amendment and get the committee to explain it, because they've done major things, and then I want to explain in a little more detail where we are. Madam Chairman, this bill came to us. We have got a mess in our limited liability bill. Our act, there was a bill passed in 2010, I believe it was, that took us to a uniform act that had a problem in it. We were unable to get that straightened out going through, and it passed. And what it did was it changed the default provisions in limited liability corporations that you can do them two ways. You can have a limited liability corporation that's like a partnership where every member has an equal share. Or you can do a limited liability corporation where the shares are proportional to the amount of capital that the various individuals involved have invested. And, Madam Chairman, we changed in that 2010 enactment from being a place where if you didn't say otherwise, you had a share proportional to the amount of capital you invested, to one where if you don't say otherwise, it's on a per capita basis and all the members are equal. Now, in either the law as it was before 2010 or the law as it is afterwards, you can set the corporation, the limited liability corporation, up either way. But in many cases, it wasn't specified, particularly where the limited liability corporation was done. Used to be the saying was with benefit or without benefit of clergy. Now it's with or without benefit of attorney. And people did it on their own. And we had a four-year transition period where if you had been set up one way, you could transition, and we changed the law. If you didn't, in that four-year period, transition your corporation, you all of a sudden had the other version, whether you intended it or not. And there have been a difficulty where people didn't catch that 4 year, weren't able to get things done in that 4 year period. and all of a sudden we're getting very unfortunate messes where people who thought they had one system have got the other. And what the bill does is take us back to the for the ones done before our 2010 enactment. The bill takes us back, lets the corporations go back to their old system and enables them to get that done. It was brought to the attention of the Corporations Committee by one of the attorneys in the state that's quite active in this area. Corporations Committee had too many bills. It was outside their scope. Anyhow, I think, charge from the Management Council. So I volunteered, because we do need to clean that up. I thought it would be a good idea to take the next step and clean it up going forward, because I think most people that do one of these without benefit of attorney think they're getting the ownership in proportion to how much they contributed, and they may not realize they're getting equal ownership. I think the other default would be better, but that's proved to be a good deal more complicated. And, Madam Chairman, this is the area of the Standing Committee Amendment, so I would ask that that be dealt with at this time.
Will the reading clerk read the amendment?
Senate File 100, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 14.
Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Madam Chairman.
Chairwoman.
The amendment proposed by the Judiciary Committee. Do I have to move it first? Sorry, I move. Madam Chair, I move. Sorry,
Senator Von Flattern.
It has not the good senator's name on it, but it does have a chair of the committee's name on it. So I wondered if he would please move it.
Senator Christensen.
Madam Chairman, if we could have the standing committee amendment read in. Has it been read in?
It has been read in.
I'd move standing committee amendment to Senate File 100 and ask the good Senator Anselmi to explain it.
Thank you, Senator Christensen. Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I'm going to sort of summarize and walk you through this handout I gave everyone. I think it will help clarify. For limited liability corporations, in July 1st of 2010, Wyoming adopted the Uniform Limited Liability Corporation Act, which follows a partnership model. Okay, so this is a uniform one. And essentially, what happens, in general, if you have a limited liability corporation anywhere, or in the state of Wyoming, a written operating agreement controls. But if you have no operating agreement, which happens when they take it offline or have maybe their accountant prepare this for them, they can file their LLC articles with the Secretary of State, and then it becomes without an operating agreement, either member-managed, which is the default setting, or manager-managed. The problem comes in these member-managed LLCs without an operating agreement. So our discussion is only with ones with no operating agreement. What happened is, in 2010, when they adopted it, they changed it from, as this chart prior to 110, there was a proportionate distribution based on capital contributions. And that's how it was prior to 2010. And that worked for everything. That was division of assets and profits and management. Then they gave a four-year window where they gave a proportionate distribution for management, division of assets and profits, and then it went to per capita, which is how many members there are. A lot of people miss this, and the reason why we didn't go forward afterward is I think the opinion of experts that I talked to some people that were involved in adopting the Limited Liability Act, and they requested that we make it clear and not have these windows where people don't know what the law is, just to have it go forward with a per capita basis going forward. So the reason for my amendment is to essentially say that our Judiciary Committee amendment is prior to July 1st of 10, that it would be proportionate contribution for management purposes only. It does not relate to how the profits are allocated in the distributions or a dissolution of YNDF, which still would be based on equal shares after return of capital contributions. In addition, just so people understand, the problem that happened to these people are the differences without an operating agreement are decided by a majority of members, but to adopt an amendment to either the operating agreement or to the articles of incorporation, you need the consent of all members. So, for example, if you had three people start in your partnership prior to 2010, and you are the person who puts in $1 million, and the other two people put in $100,000, you would have majority control of the corporation. But what happens after the four-year window passes is that then you're suddenly one-third, one-third, one-third with respect to control. And these people, what we have seen with the concern of this attorney that came to us was there was about 13 clients that have come to him and said, essentially, the two people with the minority interest just waited out the window because it takes all three people to consent to a change in the operating agreement or the articles. And they said, well, why would we? We can get a windfall after this 4 years passes, and too bad for you, you unlucky duck. And so we're just trying to correct what happened. When we retroactively changed the law in 2010 to say, oh, all you people before 2010, you are now stuck with a different law, and you can't even fix this because you have to have all three of you amend it. What happened is the bad guys waited out the window and caught them in a trap. And some of the people that were on the committee in 2010, the one I talked to said that, indeed, this was an unintended consequence in this legislation. They thought they could fix it that 4 years, and in fact, they could not. So I would respectfully ask the body to vote for amendment.
Thank you, Senator Anselmi Dalton. Discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Madam Chairman, somewhat reluctantly, but I think the amendment is a good idea. I think the problem is more complex than we could otherwise deal with. The amendment starts us down the process, gets us a bill we can pass now that will be useful. But I do want to be clear, it's not a comprehensive solution to everything. It's a good first step.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Christensen.
Madam Chairman, relative to the amendment, we did discuss it thoroughly in our committee and recognize that it takes us most of the way there. There may be some additional improvements in a committee from the floor amendment later on. I'd call for the question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 100, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 100 has passed. Senator Scott.
Madam Chairman, I would just add and ask the Management Committee members in particular to pay attention. We got a real problem here. It proved to be much more complex than a simple bill could handle. We're going to have further legislation down the road, and it's probably complex enough. So I would think that an assignment, I would hope, to the Judiciary Committee, because of the number of attorneys that are experienced and businessmen and women that are experienced in this area on that committee, I would think that they could do a better job of fixing it than we can do here on the floor. The bill as it stands will help, but it isn't going to fully solve the problem, and we do have an ongoing problem with the default provision.
We are on the bill. For the discussion, Senator Meyer.
No, I think we're just out of the frying pan into the fire, because what about those people that knew what the law was, complied with the law, and they're just fine with the way they are with the I'm going to think about that one a bit. But the other thing that I want to look at is tell you guys the story of what we had with some folks around our country on that capital contribution proportionate contribution was that we had 50-50 partner go on vacation, and when he came back, his partner had borrowed more money, put it into the company, and got controlling interest proportionately automatically, sold the company out to another company he had, and the guy lost everything. And so that's what you get with some of the things that go with proportional capital. And I don't think there's any protections. I don't know whether there is any protections. I got staff looking at it to see whether there's anything in the current statute that if you had an operating agreement, whether or not you could get, you know, laid away if you were gone for 30 days and you come back and the guy does this to you. So I'm thinking it's maybe a notice, a 60-day notice or something like that, that there's going to be a capital change, that you have to notice the other members in the limited liability corporation, just so everybody knows what's going on. But if anybody's got any ideas on that or has a better idea about how this limited liability thing is structured, you know, that's the other side of the coin.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Scott.
Madam Chairman, and let me just respond to it. You get individual circumstances like that, that's when you really need a smart lawyer. Because the basic principle is you're not supposed to steal. And that sounds like what happened there, if we're getting an accurate accounting, of course. There's always two sides to some of these questions. And I think that can probably be dealt with under existing law. And, Madam Chairman, as a non-attorney, I think I feel safe in saying this is one where you really need an attorney. But I do think it's illustrative of some of the difficulties we do have here. And I again appeal to the Management Council. This one needs attention.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. With all due respect to the tall senator of Natrona County, at that point in time, where the statutes were, we legalized the theft. It was legal. You could have a New York attorney, a Chicago attorney, an L.A. attorney, and the best attorney in the state of Wyoming. It was legalized theft with the way our statutes were contributed, and constructed, which essentially is what we have in this one here, is the unintended consequences that was just described by the senator from Rock Springs. So that was statutorily, it was, you know, you lost your investment. And so, you know, when we write these things, you have to think of the guy that's the dirtiest darn crook in the world and figure out what he's going to do with what we put forth.
Senator Anselmi Dalton, Madam Chairwoman, to address the concerns of my good colleague, I want to point out, first of all, just to be clear, this only applies if there is no operating agreement in writing. There's always an operating agreement that can be, they'll look and they'll say whatever is implied, whatever the intent was, and there are fiduciary dealings. However, it is a concern. We're only trying to rectify the harm that was imposed on people who thought they were following the law in 2010 and prior to 2010, and they went ahead and formed a LLC and said, okay, I have the majority ownership. A lot of these people that are the clients that have the problem are people that put in a lot of money into real estate investments or into high-tech firms. Say they put in $5 million, and then these other people said, we'll help you run it, and then they lost their control after the four-year provision ran, and that's what we're trying to fix. After that time, after the 10 time, it's all based on member. Basically, it's per capita. If you have three members, each one has one-third control, unless you have an operating agreement and a written decision, which is what everyone should do, obviously. Thank you. Further discussion on the bill?
Question.
The question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 100, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 100 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 50.
Senate File 50, Civics Educational Programs, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 50, Civics Educational Programs. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on the good senator from Casper.
Senator Landon.
Yes, Madam Chairman, it was me, by God. I'm glad to, senators, to tell you a little bit more about Senate File 50. This bill represents an effort by the Appropriations Committee, senators, to pull some of the items that have traditionally appeared under the 300 series in your budgets in past years. We're pulling this into statute. This particular language that you'll find on page 2 comes in underneath the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources and allows for that agency and state government to establish and support educational programs that promote and develop civics. You might be aware of the fact that we do have a program that is in place now. In the future, that doesn't necessarily mean that we would choose to fund anything under this statute, but it does pull it in and codify. The competition that I referred to a moment ago is a statewide competition among our high schools, and I have to say that a couple of teams from up in the Senator from Sheridan's district have gone on to national competitions and represented our state well. This is a growing competition. I've been fortunate enough to serve as a judge three of the last 4 years, and it's really a remarkable thing. And so we're just trying to pull this into the statute so that if we choose to continue that program, we can do so. Be glad to answer any questions.
Discussion on the bill. President Vivout.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. A couple of questions. On page 1, the commission, I assume that's the State Parks Commission. We say establish and support educational programs. So will the state parks then tell the local school boards what programs they want them to promote? Is that what we mean by establish, and how are you going to do that? Just the functionality of it with the local school boards and local control. And then when you say support, are you going to tell the DOE, Department of Ed, that you're going to put money in there, or are you going to take money from state parks and recreation to put money over there, or are you just going to expect the school districts to get some kind of an establishment from the state parks, and they're going to come up with the money in the program themselves?
Senator Burns.
Madam Chair, this is general fund money. It was $200,000. In the last year or two, it's been $100,000 for the biennium. It's $50,000 a year. And in the language of establish and support educational programs, what we're basically talking about is spreading this program among various schools in the state. And that's what most of the money is spent on. I'm sorry I didn't get this out soon enough, but if you look at this pie chart here, the blue portion of the pie chart, I did not get it put out. The blue portion of the pie chart, is what's used on the student assessments themselves. And then the smaller parts are personnel, which is $4,800, travel reimbursement, $2,400, supplies, $2,000. And just to give you an idea of how this has been spreading, the good senator from Casper was mentioning that Sheridan High School has been very successful. I think we've won this four years in a row. And they then get to compete nationally in Washington, D.C. And I had always thought originally that this money was the reward for sending them to Washington. That's not the case. They have to raise their own money for that trip. This is to get expended around the state on these programs. And just to give you an idea of some of the numbers, 6,000 high school students have participated in competitive hearings. 28,000 students have been exposed to the program, elementary, middle, and high school levels, and 142 IME teachers have received training. And so far, the high schools that have competed are Veda Claremont, Bighorn, Campbell County, Casper Kelly Walsh, Casper Natrona, Chugwater, Cody, Du Bois, Cheyenne Central, Cheyenne East, Cheyenne South, Evanston, Douglas, Fort McKenzie, Glendale, Glen Rock, Green River, Hewlett, Jackson, KC, Kemmerer, New Frontier, I don't know where New Frontier is, Lander Valley, Laramie, Lingle, Fort Laramie, Meteetse, Niobrara County, Riverton, Saratoga, Sheridan, Shoshone, Torrington, and Moreland. And in addition, the elementary schools where they're starting this program, have already gotten this program going, are Afferbach, Alta Vista, Anderson, ARP, Bags, Bain, Buffalo Ridge, Cole, Davis, Deming Miller, Dildine, Freedom, Gilchrist, I'm sorry, Goins, Hebert, Henderson, Hobbs, Jessup, Pioneer Park, Rossman, Saddle Ridge, and Sunrise. Some of the results of this is kids who participate in this program, because this program was started in 1987, 95% of them have voted, while only 52% of the non-participants vote at the rate. This is a good program. If we want to put it into the education funds, that's one thing, but right now it has been coming out of general funds. This has been in Series 300 the budget for about 6 years now. I'm sorry, 5 years now. And so we're basically, this is the codification of that, so it can be an ongoing expense. And with that, I'd be glad to take any questions. Unless they're difficult, then Senator Landon will take them.
Senator Hicks.
Madam Chairman, just a question when we get to page 2 and we look at the actual language in there. So we start out with, and this is relevant to the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resource in consultation with the board. But so the State Parks and Cultural Resource is going to establish and support educational programs. And then it enumerates it. But I'm trying to figure out when we get to the end of that sentence, and then it says, as provided by the legislature. And so my question is there's two things going on in this sentence here that I'm having a hard. We authorize a state agency to establish and support the educational program, and then it says, as provided by the legislature. So I don't know if that means that we're supposed to also be into the curriculum development and all that stuff, or if that language is just there saying if we provide the funding. And if that's the case, I wonder if that language is even necessary.
Senator Burns.
Madam Chair, I don't know that the language is frankly necessary anymore. As I said, this has been an ongoing footnote for 5 years that has gotten this program established. And it is a set program, and State Parks and Cultural Resources, frankly, has just been a placeholder and a pass-through for the money that goes to this program. And I believe the language, as provided by the legislature, has more to do with the funding than it has to do with the curriculum. Because, as I said, the program's a national program. It was actually started by Supreme Court Chief Justice Berger in 1987.
Further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 50, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 50 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 51.
Senate File 51, Approval of Water Funds Transfer, an act relating to water, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, was referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senator Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 51, Approval of Water Funds Transfer. There are no standing committee amendments, and Madam Chair, this is another codification of a long-standing footnote. And for a further explanation on the bill, I ask that you call on the good senator from Devil's Tower.
Senator Driscoll.
Madam Chairman, thank you very much. The great senator pretty well explained it to you. It's codification. Really what this does, brings back what's already been happening, ask them to bring a report back to the Joint Appropriations Committee, and also does what we always like on page two. It says after approval of the legislature, it makes it where they can't do anything until we do final approval. So this makes it where it should have our stamp of approval. I move for adoption.
Discussion on the bill. The question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Burns's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 51, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 51 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Anytime you say it returns power to the people.
Senate File 52, Fund Balance Definition, an act relating to administration of government, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, was referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 52, Fund Balance Definition. There are no standing committee amendments. This is another codification of longstanding footnotes. And for further explanation, I ask that you call on the great Trona Minor of the legislature.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senate File 52, as the good chairman mentioned at its codification, it adopts the definition for the term fund balance. And if you look through it, it's kind of fun how it walks through there. It defines the terms for fund balance, unappropriated fund balance, or unobligated, unencumbered fund balance. In Title 9, Chapter 2, Article 10, which controls the state budget process, the bill provides codifies provisions in the Section 300 previously contained in the General Appropriations Bill for the last several biennia. The purpose of putting it in the codified statutes is to avoid incorporating it in each biennial budget and raising questions as to whether or not the provision is for general operations of state government. The definition is critical for determining the beginning and ending biennial balances and providing direction as to whether tips or thresholds have been met on the ending balances of various accounts. The language originally developed between the State Auditor's Office and LSO has been in session law for several years, Madam Chairman. And as you can see in the bill on page 2, it starts right out with fund balance, unappropriated fund balance, and unobligated, unencumbered fund balance, notwithstanding or fund balance reflected in the state of Wyoming's comprehensive annual financial report means, and then the whole bill just goes on to the each section of A, the fund cash and petty cash balance, then less the fund balance reserved, less the remaining unspent appropriations from that fund for previous biennials, and then on page 3 you got less fund reversions as computed by the state auditor, less restricted cash, plus the net accounts received due to the federal government, plus the mineral severance taxes, if any, plus the sales and use taxes, any, and plus federal mineral royalties, if any. So, Madam Chairman, members of the Senate, this is what appropriations and what the LSO, and this is what we've used for quite a few years. And as it stated, it's been in our session laws for the past few years. This just codifies it in law. And I ask for your favorable consideration.
Fund discussion on the bill. Discussion on the bill?
Question
having been called, all those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 52, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 52 has passed the Committee of the Whole. There are no further bills. Majority Floor Leader Perkins.
And before I make the motion, I just want to do correction. A little while ago, we talked about 12.2 and a conflict on a section. And the section I referred to has to do with general appropriation bills. Legal came in after we had that discussion, and after that was May, after our discussion, and the good senator declared that conflict and pointed out that these water omnibus bills do not qualify as general appropriations. So ultimately, the long story short is that you declare a conflict on that, you would declare it on the entire bill, not just on that section.
Thank you, okay. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. So with that correction, I will make this motion. Madam Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Will the reading clerk please read the Committee of the Whole report?
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 99, do pass. Senate File 105, do pass. Senate File 90, do pass amended. Senate File 47, do pass. Senate File 24, do pass amended. Senate File 56, do pass. Senate File 100, do pass amended. Senate File 50, do pass. Senate File 51, do pass. Senate File 52, do pass. Senator Nethercott, Madam Chairman.
Senator Nethercott, do you have a motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole report?
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss. I move for adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That report is adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, one of the things maybe you could speak to, and one of our colleagues from up in northern Wyoming used a graph to explain a point, and technically under our rules we're not supposed to do that, sometimes we allow that. Could you explain a little bit more about that, just so everybody understands our rule?
Sure. What the president said. Oh, you want further elaboration. So generally what we have is, we've made a few exceptions now and then, but generally along with not doing names and not doing formal names on the floor generally and other things like that, that things we don't do is we don't hold up and do visual aid. So the good senator, good senators, anybody can pass that out. You can pull it up and look at it, but holding it up and doing a demonstration like that is generally not in accordance with our rules of decorum, although there's certainly a lot worse things we could do, Mr. President. Yeah. But nevertheless, again, it's one of those things. This is just I don't want to embarrass anybody. It's just one of those things, just a friendly reminder. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. And I will give latitude. A lot of times, documents like that, visual aids, really help you explain things. So that's a rule that I was never really excited about. So I give a lot of latitude to that. But Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I want to apologize for holding this pie chart up to everybody.
Apology accepted, Senator Burns.
Let you know that you haven't even reached the threshold of embarrassment for me yet.
Senator Scott.
And, Mr. President, in regard to that rule and the use of proper names, it has always been the custom of the Senate when we're yielding to somebody to explain a bill or to explain a standing committee amendment to yield to them by name and not make strange references, because that it doesn't introduce any personalities into debate, and that's what we're seeking to do. So it just facilitates when I get up and I say I yield to Senator Boehner or whoever to present the bill. That's the way we do it, and we tend not to try to refer to somebody to some description. So I think we've been getting a little sloppy the other way, and it does tend to introduce personalities when we do it that way.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the prop concept, I just wanted to clarify that handing out a graph and referring to the graph is not the same as using it as a prop. It's the holding it up concept and pointing, whereas if you distribute a graph and then you refer, you can see from the graph that I distributed, everybody should have a copy of that on their desk, that the trend is increasing, yada, yada, yada. That is acceptable. So it's the
the concept of doing this that is the problem.
Did you just violate something there, Senator Roffler?
I certainly did. Mr. President, I ask forgiveness for that demonstration of violation of protocol. Hope the body forgives me.
Mr. President, never.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, just to elaborate slightly more, a rule against the use of props also extends to gestures, to persons, to other references of things outside of this chamber, or even within this chamber, say, having a guest or anything like that. So that's part of our rule against props. And earlier, Mr. President, if I might elaborate also, I don't believe it's required in our rules that the person whose name is on an amendment be the person that actually moves the amendment. What's required is that it is moved. Frequently, for example, a standing committee amendment will have the standing committee's chairman's name on it, but it just works out better to yield to the person that's actually explaining it, and sometimes we move it up front, but it's not necessary and it's not in our rules. I don't believe it causes any confusion, Mr. Chairman. It's just always referred to as a standing committee amendment. Mr. President, thank you. Sorry.
Further discussion on any of that? Do you have any messages from the House? Nope. How about standing committee reports? Nope. We've run out of things to do on my paper. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, is there anything? That clears the desk.
Well, we had a very productive day. We're zipping right along. Ladies and gentlemen, it really isn't because there's only a few bills out there. I did through a little circulation, and people thought that it would be better off if the bills that were on general file were tomorrow, so to give them some time to get some things distributed. So with that, more bills are being read in. I keep anticipating that we're going to come up short and run out of time, but we're really keeping pace. There's only a few bills that are on general file that we haven't heard already, so we're not lagging. I only say that as that, I mean, here it is, it's 10 minutes after 3, and I'm going to make a motion to adjourn. So with that, Mr. President, I guess I would also indicate that I was corrected earlier by legal on the, it's not requests that have to be out on Wednesday by noon. It is the actual bill draft out. It has to be out of LSO by noon. So what that really means, Mr. President, is it's very unlikely unless it's a leadership, unless the rules are waived, or else it's an incredibly simple bill, that if you put it in after today or even through tomorrow, logistically speaking, it's just going to be virtually impossible probably to have that out of LSO by noon tomorrow. That also being said, there are still a number of bills that have not been, in talking to LSO staff, they don't think that there are any bills that haven't been drafted that have been into bill requests. If there are, please follow up. Also, if they're not appearing on your extranet, you may want to find a copy of those and print them out and secure your sponsors by signature. Just trying to make sure that everybody's got well aware that deadline is rapidly approaching Wednesday at noon.
And Mr. Majority Florida, you said tomorrow by noon, but you mean Wednesday.
The deadline is Wednesday by noon.
Right.
What I'm talking about tomorrow is if there was a bill request that went in tomorrow or it went in Wednesday morning in the early morning, it's not a question if that's improper or against the rules. It's just logistically speaking, LSO may not be able to have that work done by that time because they've got standing committee reports and amendments to do. They've got a lot of workload in addition to drafting bills. It's just it runs into a practicality of time management.
Okay, Senator Scott.
President, I just want to clarify that. Am I right in thinking that what has to be done by the noon Wednesday deadline is the final version of the bill has to be signed off by the sponsor and any co-sponsors, and the sign-off has to be an LSO? They may take an extra day or two to get the jacketed version out here. Is that a correct understanding of the rule?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I believe that is correct. Those are the bills come out, and there may be – so, yeah, I think ultimately they're looking for that done. I think that the actual word is numbered. They have to be numbered for introduction, but that's all that has to happen at that point in time. They don't have to be out on the president's desk for introduction at that time.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a motion?
Yes, I do. Boy, I got sidetracked. Thank you. Mr. President, I move that we stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Tuesday, January the 24th of 2017.
Announcements. Announcements. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet Wednesday the 25th in room S27 to consider the following files. Senate File 57, Motor Vehicle Franchises Exceptions, that's Senator Cases. Senate File 109, Auto Cycles, Senator Bernard. And it's going to be about 10 minutes after adjournment.
Further announcements. Senator Peterson.
President, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, 30 minutes after noon recess, to take up Senate File 70, Manufacturing Machinery Exemption Sunset Date, and Senate File 22, Notice Evaluation Change Reporting, and finally Senate File 49, Investment Funds Committee, and that will be in Jonah Room L54. Note the room change. That's the larger conference room.
Any other announcements? Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in Jonah Room S27 to consider Senate File 104, Regulation of Bingo and Pull Tab Game Events, Senate File 120, Mentor Antelope Hunting Voucher. Thank you.
Okay, you've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate is adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, January 24th.